Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we have been considering some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. I've pointed out in the past that this is a much neglected subject for many of us. In other words, it's something that we're either afraid of, or we simply don't understand what it's all about, and therefore we neglect the subject of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, from the Word of God, that we could not live our lives without His help. Some of us have long lives still to live in this world. It's true that we're going to heaven when we die, but we cannot live our lives in this world without the help of God. And so God has provided the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us in our lives, and how wonderful His ministries are. We considered many of these ministries, and first of all, in the first part of this study, we took a number of different passages of Scripture, and we considered them over a period of time. Passages of Scripture which touch on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and very briefly, we would explain these passages of Scripture. But then, we also have come now to the study of some of the specific topics dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been trying to deal with these topics more deeply in the last half of this long study on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We are talking about these topical studies dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the lives of believers, and the first one we considered was the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk before the Lord and in church life. We considered this over a period of a number of different days in a number of different messages, and now we have turned to the work of the Holy Spirit in evangelism, and how important this subject is also. This is the second topic that we're discussing. And as we introduce this subject, we came in, first of all, to the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the one who carries the gospel. Sometimes we ignore this thing. We are tempted to feel that all we have to do is to get out and witness for Christ, and that if we do our work and we do our part, then the work of God will be completed. And what we forget is, it's the Holy Spirit who works through our lives. We emphasize this truth again and again, that we are only human instruments, and that we ourselves, in the human flesh, cannot accomplish the work of God. Everything we do will fail if we try to work only in the energy of the flesh. And so we need the work of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be submitted to Him and dependent upon Him, in fact, totally dependent upon Him, in working through our lives to prepare us and to equip us and to send us out and to go ahead of us and to lead and guide us. Everything you can think of is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now, we've been considering a number of different things concerning how He works in the life of the one carrying the gospel. I want to turn today to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives and hearts of those whom we are seeking to reach with the gospel. Now, I don't want to de-emphasize the importance of the Holy Spirit working through us, but I want to turn now to the people with whom we are dealing, the people to whom we're witnessing. And I want to take a number of different things that the Holy Spirit will do in their lives and how He works in their lives in order to reach them with the gospel. First of all, I want to talk about the Spirit's work in restraining lost people from how deep they can go into sin and turning away from God. Now, this may sound very strange that we would even discuss such a thing. And yet this truth is taught in the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit is working toward the hearts and on the hearts of unsaved people to keep them from going all the way, so at least they would be willing to listen to the gospel. And this truth is very important in any witness we do for Christ. Now, as we study such passages as Romans chapter 1, and I want to deal with this passage in a few moments, we're going to see that some people are determined to go all the way. They resist the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this particular matter of restraining them. They resist this, and finally, God simply removes the restraining work of His Holy Spirit and permits them to plunge on and on deeper and deeper into sin. Now, let me go back for a few moments to this. Even in our unsaved state, before we ever hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. He's not indwelling the unsaved person, but in the unsaved person, He is still at work in their lives to restrain them. In our sinful, lost condition, were it not for His constant restraining work, we would ourselves plunge deeper and deeper into sin. In other words, we're lost in sin, we're hopelessly bound by sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, we're members of Satan's family, we work with Satan's people, we follow Satan's desires and everything else. Whether in our individual lives or in our relationships with others, we're therefore capable of committing the very vilest and the most extreme sins and of going so far that we would never even remotely consider listening to the gospel and trusting Christ. Now, I want to be fair about this. The danger is that we will feel so confident that I am worthy to hear the gospel, or that somehow I have not gone that far. We will be so confident in ourselves that we would not be willing, really, to take the steps we need to take. We are capable in ourselves of going all the way. Therefore, we give the credit to the Holy Spirit for having restrained us, those of us who are Christians, having restrained us and letting us hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Even in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God there speaks of His striving work in the hearts of the people of the world to keep them from plunging further and further into sin. Now, this was written at a time before the flood, when God finally restrained them, and then He removed the restraints and let them simply go on, and then destroyed the world and started over again with Noah and his family. But before that time, the Spirit had been working in the world to restrain people from going all the way. They resisted it. They refused it. And therefore, God simply destroyed them. And then again in the passage that I mentioned before, in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, He also indicates the same thing as God moves on the hearts of men and women to bring them to repentance and acceptance of the truth. We see this in several different passages here. We also see that when they resisted it, when they refused the help of the Holy Spirit, that God simply had the Holy Spirit step aside, so to speak, and then let them go on. In other words, God would not plead with them. He would not work with them anymore. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 teaches the same thing, as it teaches us that the Holy Spirit would be a restraining influence in the world until the end times come. In other words, until the time when Jesus returns, and then the Holy Spirit is taken away. We're thankful that He's in the world today and that He's working in the hearts of unsaved people. Now, it is only when they have consistently resisted every effort of God to bring them to the truth and have finally turned away from Him that God removes this restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go too deep into this because I'm not the judge of everything. Some people may say, well, I've already gone too far. God can no longer work in my heart. No, even the very fact that you acknowledge this may mean that you have not gone too far, that God is still working in your hearts to bring you to the Savior. And so I'm not willing to give up on anyone. God Himself is the judge of this when men have so hardened their hearts that they're not even willing to listen or even to consider anything concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the judge of this, and I'm not willing to go and try to outthink God in this matter. So, when we recognize in our lives that there is this need in our lives for a Savior, then it means we have not gone too far. We need to turn to the truth. The very fact that God is still speaking to us indicates that His Spirit is still working to try to bring us to the realization of our need and to the willingness that we would really come to the Lord Jesus and trust Him as our Savior. So we can often see, as we witness for Christ, both in the restraining work of the Spirit and in the removal of it in the lives of those we're seeking to reach, we can see how the Spirit is working in this matter, and when some people have simply gone too far. On the one hand, we can often see great tenderness and openness of heart in some of those we seek to reach for the gospel, though they might not respond right away to the truth that we share with them. We know that they are seriously considering the truth and will someday make a sincere heart decision to trust and follow Him. And again, we give the glory to God. It is the Spirit's restraining work in their hearts that gives them this approach to the truth. In others, we can also see this total hardness of heart as we turn to the other kind of person and total indifference to anything that we might share with them. We cannot say that God has given up on them, because God loves them to the very end. But it is clear that they themselves have rejected the truth. They have no intention of ever doing anything about it. Even to their dying day, they still resist the truth and would resent anyone even giving them the truth of salvation. And so, it's obvious in their lives that they have resisted to the point where the Spirit is not working in their hearts anymore. I just want to emphasize this for a few moments, and that is that as we sit in church, for instance, we can very often see people who are attending the services time and time again. Oh, how we pray for these lost people. They seem to be tender and open still to the gospel. But then suddenly we notice they're not coming anymore. We notice that they have no more interest in the gospel. Even though we visit them, they seem to resist every effort. Even though at one time they seem to be very tender, there comes a time in their lives when their attitude changes, when their whole approach to God changes, and now they're indifferent and they're rejecting and they're turning away from everything that God would say to them. So we can see this in the lives of many, many people. And so this ministry of the Holy Spirit is a very important ministry. And we as Christians can depend upon this ministry as we minister for Christ and as we reach out to the lost. We can depend upon this ministry of going ahead of us and of continuing to work in the hearts and keeping them from going all the way. I want to encourage those of you who are praying for lost relatives. Don't give up on them. In other words, when God Himself chooses to turn away, that's one thing. But when we give up on them, that's another. We don't give up on people, even to the very end. If I visit a person who's dying in the hospital, even though he might have rejected the truth all during his lifetime, truth that I had given him and others had given him, even still, I believe it's my responsibility to plead with him one last time, even though he might have seemed to reject everything. Now, if he doesn't listen to the pleading and to the way the Spirit wants to work in his life, that's his fault. That's his responsibility before God. But at least I must do my part in pleading with him and begging him and sharing with him one last time the gospel. And there have been many, many deathbed experiences of some of these people where on their very deathbed they have trusted the Christ, and I've done everything I was supposed to do in witnessing to them. So I want to encourage you to go on in the witness of the gospel, realizing that the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of unsaved people. May the Lord bless you, each one.